But when Joab, the other general, came in, he was unhappy. The Bible tells us in chapter 3 about this wonderful story. In verse 19, we read, "And Abner also spake in the ears of Benjamin, and he spake in the ears of David in Hebron. So Abner came to David in Hebron, and 20 men with him, and they were gathered for a feast." And the Bible says in verse 21 that after that gathering and that conference, that Abner was sent away by David, and he went in peace. He went in peace. And then we read that Joab was not happy with the settlement and the peace. He did not like for men to live at peace with each other. And when he came in from pursuing his troops in verse 22, he was upset that peace had been made in a treaty. And then Abner said to the hosts that were with him, "Let us send for Abner and invite him to come." And so he did. In verse 27, "And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside at the gate, began to speak with him quietly, and smote him under the fifth rib, and he died there in the blood." And so you get the drift of the story. And when the man of peace had been slain through foul play, we find the messenger then went on and told David about it. And we find that in verse 31, that David said to Joab, "You get all the people together. We're going to rend our clothes. We're going to put on sackcloth and ashes. We're going to remember this hero who has died." And he followed the casket, it says. And they buried Abner. And the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave. And all the people wept. And Abner died not as a fool, the king said, but as a patriot. Here we have an excellent teaching for all the people today. Abner was a salt to the earth. He was an example worth following. He was a man of peace. His service was such that promoted peace. His benefit that he brought to Israel and to the world. No wonder the king wept, and no wonder the people wept. And there was the bitter ingredient that he died a useless death because of Joab. What they had lost. They lost the service of a good man. They lost the prayers of a good man. And they lost peace because civil war once again continued. What lessons do we gain from this little story in the Old Testament? First of all, we weep with them that weep. Oh, David said, this is a great loss, and we need to suffer with them. And that's what the Apostle Paul said. Bear ye one another's burdens. And so we weep with those who weep. And as David followed the casket to the grave, all the people wept. And David reiterated, he was a patriot He did not die as a fool. He was working in the interests of peace. And secondly, I think we learn the lesson for improvement. This is another instruction that we find here. David said in verse 35 about this, "And all the people came to David and they said, 'Why don't you have a banquet today?' And David said, 'I will not eat until the sun has set.'" This is not a day for joy. This is a day for mourning, he said. This is not a day for hilarious things. This is a day for us to be solemn and concerned. And when we think of all of the patriots of this nation of ours, and never could I forget the day of Pearl Harbor, out preaching in a little country church, when the news came in and all of those men lost. Not a day for celebration, but a day for us to weep. A day for us to meditate on improvements in our own lives. And then I think David gave us another lesson here in this about the preparation for death. In verse 38 he said, "This is the voice of the king speaking. Know ye not that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel?" Any day a man in the interest of peace falls, it's a great day. I've been to the cemetery so many times, and in the midst of the last Great World War, and go and stand and try to bring comfort, as all preachers have tried to do. And then to hear the volleys sound from the rifles, and then the bugler so far in the distance. The people would ask me, "Where is the bugler?" As he plays the last note. And then the folded flag is given to the family of the good young man sent back from overseas. It's a challenge to us to take inventory of our own lives. Abner was suddenly cut off. He was working for peace. And I've heard men tell me about that struggle through North Africa and on the beachheads, and of the horrible nights. We get instruction from Memorial Day. I think the last bit of instruction that I could give you would be, let us glorify God. I've had people to show me the battle star stripes and bars. and the purple hearts and the things. And of course, it is something when we think about how important it is. We ought to glorify God. A great prince is fallen, David said. I'm not saying we idolize a hero or we idolize these people, but we honor them. And we glorify God because of them. And I know that many of you today who have been close to it and near to it. We used to have a long list of names in the foyer of our church of boys. Some of them did not come back. They paid a supreme price. And with the little young man with his college ring on, standing looking in the opposite direction, I said to him, "What is your connection to this family?" And the tears were coming down. And he says, "I'm not kin. I'm just touched." Memorial Day dawns once again, and hearts are loyal yet. O ye who sleep in peace serene, think ye we can forget our hero dead of days gone by, who girded for the fray, laid with their lives the cornerstone of this Memorial Day. We can never close our account with these men. Let us pray. Our Father, we know that all human life is precious to God. It is so precious that we want to glorify God with it. And on this Memorial Day coming and this weekend, help us to know that God made us in the image, His own image. And help us to know that as men and women who have gone forth from the military establishments of this nation and land of ours and have given and paid the price, that out yea, years and centuries before, there was one who paid the supreme price, even our Lord Jesus. We think about his death on the cross. How useless, and yet a man who brought peace, who came to bring peace in the hearts of men and women in the world. And yet, they nailed him to a cross. And Lord, we today are blessed because of his gift. And we pray that if there are some here in this service today who have never accepted and received him and the gift he has offered, that they will do so during the invitation today. We bless the memory of those who have paid the price But we hallow the memory of him who gave all that we might live through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I would invite you to turn in your hymn books to 174. And as we stand and sing, if there is one who would respond to the call to follow Christ, I would invite you to come, take up the cross, and follow him. If you have never made such a decision, it would be a wonderful opportunity for you to do so. As you quietly slip out from wherever you are and come to the front pew and make your desire known unto him. As we sing, will you do so? Sing another stanza. I wonder if there's someone in here today who has never accepted Jesus as your Lord, as your Savior. This would be a good opportunity for you to come and to receive the wonderful thing that our Lord has done for you on the cross. He invites you to come. He would bid you welcome. Come on repentance. And by acceptance, through faith in him. And so, let me challenge you, young person. If you've never trusted him, then trust him. How wonderful it is that we can think today of Memorial Day, of all of those of the past, but think mostly of Jesus Christ, who gave the supreme gift. He gave himself. Now let's sing that next stanza, and if there's someone else who would like to come and make a decision, make this your church home by letter or by statement, I invite you to come. Very quickly, will you come? Why do we sing? Thank you so much. God bless you, everyone. We are delighted that we have had visitors with us today in the service, always. And I would encourage our visitors to shake hands with someone who's nearby, one of our members, get acquainted with them, and find out. We have some wonderful people here. And I hope that you will not rush out without taking the opportunity to share with them and to meet them. We are always happy to have visitors with us, and we're glad to have you. And I understand this group from Virginia Tech, VPI, we are indeed happy to have you young people with us. I know one or two professors up there. Of course, some of you, I understand, are seniors, so that I couldn't hamper you in any way by doing that. But we are delighted to have y'all visit with us and be with us today. And Donna, so glad you brought your friends with us. This morning we have a wonderful couple who are coming. And really the invitation home hymn that we had this morning, what Ellen said, just look at that hymn, you know, that invitation hymn. And it speaks volumes because they used to live right here and on this street many years back. And this was home for them, and they made this their home. And then they went out to preach the gospel, and Waddell for many years was pastor of First Baptist Church in Virginia Beach, and then he's been up at Middleburg Baptist Church preaching for several years, and then he's been on several committees and important things in our state association, our Baptist State Association, for which we are proud of, and we are happy that we have someone like this, and they've decided to come back, and they are going to make their home here again with us. And so I want to present to you Reverend H. Waddell Waters and his wife, Ellen Waters, of 1309 Chesapeake Avenue. And they come to us from the Middleburg Baptist Church in Middleburg, Virginia. All who will joyfully welcome them will please respond by saying aye.
Aye.
And what else? Middleburg, that's an important place up there, isn't it? I think some of the Senate, well, yes. Well, Waddell has reached the place that he can, you know, shift gears. And he's still going to be busy preaching and speaking wherever God leads and directs him. And I'm sure that he'll be busy a lot of times because we have 50 churches in the Norfolk Association and then about 50 over across the river, and there'll always be opportunities. And so, Waddell, it's a real joy to have you. It's always been a pleasure in the past to have you come back and just supply once in a while. And it's nice that we're going to have you around day by day. And he's making his home up here at 1309 Chesapeake Avenue. And you need some painters or anything like that? We might be able to find an electrician or something around here that could help you out. And I think it's wonderful that he is remodeled and refurbished the old home, and he's going to make that his headquarters. So after the benediction this morning, I want to invite you to come by and shake hands with them and tell them how happy you are that they have come home. And also offer them your prayers and your support, because we all need that. Day by day, we need it. So let us bow for the prayer. Our Heavenly Father, for every day, we rejoice that you give us to live in. This is an unusual day and a unique day with us. Some of us, especially for Ellen and Waddell, as they come back home. We know, our Father, they have been many miles and accomplished many good things in their ministry. And we praise God for it, and we pray for them now as they come to dwell in our midst. It's always such a joy for us to have people like this to come in and be a part of our congregation, our fellowship. We pray thy divine blessing upon them. Give them health and give them strength and wisdom in all the days ahead, and bless their entire family. And now, Lord, send us out from this place with joy in our hearts and with the wonderful thought that on Memorial Day we can once again remember that we are all bought with a price, that nothing really comes easy or free, that God, even in his plan, had to cross some difficult rivers in presenting Christ to us. So make this day and this weekend one of blessing for each of us. And those who travel, we pray your watch care over them. Give them safety and give them thy guidance. And now may thy love abide in our hearts this day, henceforth, forevermore, for Jesus' sake.